Hey, this week we have an interview and some music with Mr. John Campbell. John has been around the music scene for a number of decades, playing in different bands, and then the last 20 years or so on his own, doing his blues thing in North America and Europe. He's got about 16 albums out, I think, now. And he has shared some time with us here to talk about songwriting, to share about where he's at, and just have a good chat. So we'll dive into Mr. John Campbell, John, right now.
Hey, John. We're here. We made it. I've got the best cup of coffee.
The strongest cup of coffee.
The hair on my chest coffee. I wish I could get hair on my head.
Yeah. Well, I got hair, no hair, but lots of glare.
So we're in your basement studio. It's very nice. There's a wall of CDs over there. There must be 700 CDs over there.
Pretty dormant these days.
Yeah.
A lot of streaming going on.
Have you got stuff loaded up on streaming services, all your material?
Yeah, thankfully, the leasing agreement I have over in Marienburg in Germany does all that.
Right.
Because I license my masters to them.
Right. Okay. So you've got the...
So thankfully they save you the trouble of going through all of that.
Right.
In fact, I had a separate account. I said, you got to get rid of that because people will be confused. But it was the same name.
Right.
So I ditched that, and my label over there handles all that headache.
Thinking of names, Campbell John. Is that like a stage name that now you've adopted?
Yes, in 1990, when I decided to do my own thing, my solo thing.
Right.
I'm a Cape Bretoner.
Right.
And in Cape Breton, you look in the old phone book, and all you see is McDonald's and Campbell's,
mm-hmm.
and much smaller percentage of other names. Every second Campbell family has a John.
Yep.
And
every third Campbell, John Campbell, is playing some instrument.
Plays a Scottish fiddle, and yeah. Usually pretty good at it.
Yeah.
I'm glad you asked the question because it's kind of a silly story, but I grew up as a fan of Sam Moon, Matt Minglet, and Universal Power, and they had these crazy showbiz names that are, in the Maritimes, they're household names now. You know, Sam and Matt, and the drummer's name was Diego Gunn, and my first guitar hero was Billy Drake, who now lives in Newfoundland. His name was Rufus Kane.
Right.
His handle. So all these crazy showbiz names that were just awesome, and I loved it when I was a kid,
yeah.
I was just like a teenager. So that stuck with me, and then I decided that in order to separate myself from the Scottish fiddlers, I decided that I need to change my name to something else. And
yeah.
I remembered a poem from by Bliss Carman. Did you ever hear of Bliss Carman, a poet? He was Canada's first unofficial poet laureate, and he spent a lot of time in the east and Maine, eastern seaboard. Excuse me if I'm not mistaken, but was born and raised in New Brunswick, or spent much or most of his life in New Brunswick. And he was a pretty prolific poet,
right?
And he wrote a poem called "The Ballad of John Campbell John," spelled slightly different,
right?
Campbell. And I remember that poem, and I thought, well, that would be kind of an easy transition.
Right.
And so I did that. But boy, was I wrong. Because it's just a pet peeve, because people interpret it as my last name being John, like Elton John or
right.
Olivia Newton-John. And,
right.
And it used to be.
And think your first name was Campbell?
No, three names.
Okay, John
Campbell, John.
Yeah.
And then I'd see that in promo. I'm nothing like Elton John.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely nothing like Olivia Newton-John. I do a blues thing. And I got a big attitude about for years. And then I just realized it's not that big a deal.
No. Yeah. Well, no, your name. I mean, people know your name. You know, it's in the industry. So you've been writing much? How's that going?
Not much lately.
Been up and down?
I sit on the couch and I come up with guitar licks and a word or two, and then I grab my phone and then I send it downstairs here, mail it to myself, and I've got a list a mile long, and I open them up and I go, where do I start with this? I have a couple of co-writers occasionally get together and develop ideas, but not been terribly active lately. The last release I had was a thing with my daughter. I Don't Want to Feel That Way is the name of the tune. We have shot some footage down here on our cell phones and sent it over to ZYX, the my label. And they edited a half-decent video out of the raw, homemade cell phone vintage, footage that I sent them.
Right.
And that was about a year ago.
Song that we just heard with your daughter, and your daughter's name is
Cassie.
Cassie, Campbell John? Or
no, just Campbell.
Just Campbell.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm not going to wish that on any of my kids. Too much of a mouthful.
But so did you wrote that with her?
Yeah. No, I wrote it with Neil Robertson, drummer that I worked with forever and a day.
Yeah.
Neil and I are good buddies. And
fabulous drummer.
He's the man.
Yeah.
And I asked him for some help because I was a little bit stuck, and he fired in a couple of ideas, and kabing, kabang, it was done.
Great.
And I just tracked it at home here and did the vocals at home. Mm-hmm. Towards the end of the pandemic, my friends over in Germany sent out an email and said, look, we got to keep things rolling here, like every other artist and every other business in the world. You know, if you got anything, just one song, just send it to us. You know, if you think it's marketable or you're comfortable with it or whatever, send it to us. Let us listen to it because we need to keep
people interested. Yeah. You got to keep
your
feeding,
brand or whatever.
You
got to
keep feeding the trough, right?
Yeah. So they're called ZYX, and they got established, and they've been around since the 70s in the dance music business.
Right.
And then somewhere in the mid to late 90s, they decided to expand a bit, and they created this jazz blues label.
Right.
And they hired an A&R guy, and he was on the lookout for artists. And long story short, my manager at the time, and who was a German, invited him over to the East Coast Music Awards.
Right.
And as fate would have it, one of my albums was nominated for a blues award.
Right.
And then I won it.
And they picked you up.
And so I walked up, thanked them. Great. So the timing was perfect. And my manager, Buddy Leonard, going, see?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah, because you've toured over there a whole bunch, right? I mean, like 10 times or something over in Germany and Europe and whatever.
Yeah, for better part of 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
It became
almost yearly.
Yeah, it became essential.
Yeah.
It's funny, there have been a lot of maritime artists go over there. It's certainly not unusual.
We've done a few tours. It's lovely. Yeah. We great audiences. We love it.
Yeah, you know the drill, yeah. But for me, it became a regular thing, so I grew to depend on it as a part of my budget.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
For the first time, it was just like a wonderful thing, and I had help with tour managing and administrative support and stuff. Thanks to my Buddy Leonard, who I mentioned a few times.
Yeah.
And the first few years was an awesome thing. And then he went on to bigger and better things. I still see him occasionally. He's a good guy. So I took over. I became the road manager.
Self-produced indie.
And working with the label and blah, blah, blah. And it's a job.
Yeah.
You know, everything. I don't need to tell you.
No.
Everything, like on stage, on, you know, on a good night, it's a wonderful thing. Yeah. It's everything else off the stage.
You know, I think people not in the business or musicians who haven't really worked at trying to tour, especially internationally, you have to work it a year and a half out or 2 years out.
Yes.
Because venues book up. You have to plan the route. You have to have a million emails back and forth. You have to figure out accommodations. You have to figure out plane flights and all that. And where can you work with or without a visa? Where can you work to a certain amount of income without having to pay duties and taxes? And it's a lot of work to get those things together.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
I make a commitment a year in advance to the agent. Are you coming or not?
Right.
And I said, yes, we'll do it.
And you block out, say, here's 6 weeks or whatever it is.
And ka-ching, I'm 10 grand in debt.
Yeah.
I just hung up the phone and I'm 10 grand in debt because I'm thinking of all the costs.
Right.
And then gradually the dates start coming in and, you know, subtract that amount of money from the debt.
Right, yeah.
And I'm going, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And it's stressful.
And when we did it, we're doing, like, self-directed house concerts and stuff, too, right? Which is a whole different management of time and effort. And
probably one of the most common questions I've asked of people who aren't in the business through the years
right.
is do you bring your wife with you? And, you know, and like, it must be fun. It must be great.
Are you kidding?
My wife along good, two nights of that.
Well, Kaylin came with me. We toured as a duo. And as you know, we're husband and wife. And we stayed in the same room and did all that. And we played together. And that helps.
If you're performing together,
you cannot take someone who isn't in the show with you. Like, well, like doing something active production-wise.
If they're not in the business and they just enjoy music as an art for what it is, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. listen to the radio, I don't expect them to be administrative experts.
Yeah,
you just can't do that.
No.
You know, it's you know, I'm not going to subject my wife to 4 hours of sleep for a month per night for a month. She has to tolerate me sweating for a year, waiting for the dates to come in, and then I completely confiscate the living room the week before with all my loot, trying to get it all into two big bags and not being overweight, you know, at about $50 per pound or something, you know.
Yeah.
And she's glad to see me go by the end of it. She deserves a break.
Stayed alone. The only place I want to be is on that autobahn. Gotta get the wheels turning, better tighten up your shoes. What off a hamburger in a hurry to sing a mess of blues. They call me Autobahn John. They call me Autobahn John. They call me Autobahn John. I'm here, then I'm gone so long. Up the gas, but when it comes mowing, cause I'm kicking it in the ass. Gotta make it to Milton, don't have a minute to lose. The man's waiting with the money, so I'll sing a mess of blues. They call me Autobahn John.
Autobahn John.
They call me Autobahn John.
Autobahn John.
They call me Autobahn John. I'm here, then I'm gone so long. Gonna play a last bar. The rhythm section screams, let us out of this car. Cats off to the airport, but something's wrong. He's flying in the jet, it should be on the Autobahn. They call me Autobahn John.
Autobahn John.
They call me Autobahn John.
Autobahn John.
They call me Autobahn John. I'm here, then I'm gone so long. They call me Autobahn John.
That was Autobahn John by John Campbell John. And that's who you're listening to, an interview that we did here in Dartmouth where, well, we both live here in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. And John's got his studio in his basement there. And some of that stuff was recorded right there. This is Songwriters from Here and Away, and we really appreciate you tuning in. We're going to take a short pause. We'll be right back.
Something mighty is coming to Kingston on Wednesday, October 15th. Mighty Bird Kingston is celebrating its Mighty OG Day with a one-of-a-kind deal. You can get a delicious hand-breaded fried chicken sandwich from Kingston's highest rated crispy chicken restaurant for just $5.99. This deal is one day only, and there is a limit of one per customer. On October 15th, swing by Mighty Bird Kingston at 764 Gardner's Road and taste the mighty difference.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office and supported by our friends at Modern City Taxi, we're pleased to present a selection from Hylia's new EP, The Piano Sessions, which was recorded with just one microphone and a grand piano. Local artist Hylia reimagines a collection of covers in her own unique style in this new release, and unlike her earlier recordings, the new release is stripped down and raw, capturing the intimacy and authenticity of her live solo performances. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via Visit Kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream The Piano Sessions by Hylia on your favorite platforms and enjoy a selection from it called Gold Dust Woman right now here on CFRC 101.1. 9 FM.
Pride. on this week's Release Radar in partnership with the Kingston Music Office and supported by our friends at Modern City Taxi. We're pleased to present a selection from Cassador 2, the latest EP from Kingston rockers Cassador. The new EP takes an introspective look into feeling human in the modern day and age, set to an authentic presentation of live performed rock music. The EP preceding a new album dropping this winter is a truly local package of talent, featuring writing and performances by Julia Finnegan, Brett Emmons, Nambi, and Justin Rutledge. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visitkingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Cassador 2 by Cassador on your favorite platforms and enjoy a selection from it called Trouble, right here now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Broadcasting live from the basement of Carruthers Hall. I say, Carruthers, are you all right down there?
Hello and welcome. You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. This is Cindy. This is Absolutely Frivolous. Welcome. It's 10:30-ish in the morning on Monday, October 13th. Welcome, welcome to CFRC 101.9 FM. I hope you come back here often. It's a disgustingly cold and overcast day, but I feel like that's appropriate this week. And I'm not going to judge the universe for making the world sad today. So, but here we are for comedy. I'm not going down that other road. We're here to listen to some comedy, of course. Here it's Absolutely Frivolous. If you haven't tuned in before, you may not realize this is a comedy show. I'm not funny, but I do put funny stuff on the air. I think so anyway. I don't know if you think so. Just a little bit of, I don't know, warning. If I have omitted bleeping a swear word, or if the topic, the comedians or performers that I play coming up have any sort of offensive bent that you do not like, I apologize. Please turn it off, but come back later, of course, to CFRC. It's not our intention to offend anyone here at CFRC or at Absolutely Frivolous, certainly not. But we do we do push the envelope. This is what comedy's about, man. It gets you thinking and, yeah. So this is some stuff. I've got John Johnson later. He's very funny. Oh, my gosh. He's going to talk about gorillas and chimps. I also have Flo and Joan, and they're British singing of the rest of their lives, which is very, very funny. It's just a great little song. But before I forget, our funding drive is coming up here at at CFRC. I don't know if you know much about it, but it does help us fund the shows, the outreach that we do here in the community, maintenance, replacement, upgrades of existing station equipment, pay for our hardworking staff that are so few and obviously aren't paid enough. They do so many wonderful things for the station and for Kingston in general, really. I'm always impressed by the people that we hire here, and we're very lucky to always get hardworking, quality people who just, like, give, which I love. Our volunteers are great, too. There is such a variety of them if you're interested in ever volunteering here. Apparently, we take anybody. But no, that's not the case. There is a bit of a vetting process and a audition process. And if you want to show, if you don't want to show, you still have to go through the training, but you don't actually have to audition, I believe. Don't quote me on that, though. Our website, cfrc.ca, has all the information for you to apply to be a volunteer. And, yeah, we take people from the community. We take people from Queens, students, that kind of thing. A lot of people pre-record because they're not always here or able to come into the station, although it's so much more fun when you come into the station to do your show. The fundraising helps with all of that. Our transmitter, our web stream maintenance, all kinds of projects that we have going on, like portable DJ equipment that we're trying to upgrade for community events, podcast platforms, all kinds of different mixers, our logging system so we can be compliant with CRTC and SOCAN. Honestly, you can donate now. Go to cfrc.ca, click on donate. They give you two options. You can donate through Queen's University, and that way you'll get a tax receipt, or you can give directly to CFRC, no tax receipt. But during the fundraising event, during the 2 months, which is usually November and December, it was last year anyways. I'm not actually sure what's going to happen this year. I'm assuming we're doing the same way, but there's all kinds of swag that you get at different tiers of how much you donate. And that swag makes great Christmas gifts. So you're killing two birds with one stone. You're being generous by donating, and you get to do your Christmas shopping all through CFRC. Who doesn't love a CFRC winter toque or all kinds of stuff? Anyway, you're here to listen to some comedy, and here I'm going to play for you Joan and Flo. Here they are. This is the rest of their lives. It's freaking hilarious. Have fun. Enjoy. Have a great week. I'll see you next Monday or talk to you next Monday. on Absolutely Frivolous on CFRC 101.9 FM.
And Joan,
yep.
We are sisters.
Yep. We have the same mother and father.
Yep. One of the questions that we get asked the most is always, are you really real sisters? And then people will say, you don't look the same. And then they'll say again, are you sure you're real sisters? So we've written those people a song.
Yeah.
Yes. I think we'll squeeze in one more. You were in the corner of the room, and I was in the middle, trying to work up the nerve to come and talk to you. Then you came over, thank God, put out your hand, and I shook your thumb and I said, hey, nice to meet you. Then you left. And I'm gonna think about that for the rest of my life. The rest of my life. Oh yeah. 10 years later, and I was in a 7-Eleven. Saw you by the freezers and I thought, I'm gonna talk to you, 'cause I need to show you that I am cool, and that I know how to shake a hand. Tapped you on the shoulder and I said, hey, you said, hey. I said, remember me, I'm the girl from the party who shook your thumb and said, hey, nice to meet you. You said, I'm sorry, I don't remember that. I said, no worries, my friend, I think about it constantly. Then you left. Then I walked away, tripped over a tower of beans and tried to run out the shop, but the door didn't open and I face planted the window and it set off all the burglar alarms. And I know you saw. Now I'm gonna think about you, thinking about me, thinking about that for the rest of my life. My brain is filled with all the things that I have ever done wrong, and all the colours on Joseph's coat, and that's it. I don't remember anything I learnt in school, but I do remember the time in a restaurant where I ordered spaghetti bolognese, and the time I walked in on my friend's mum in the bath, and the time on a tube when I grazed a woman's boob and said, sorry, I just touched your boob, and she said, oh, I didn't notice. And I said, great, nice to meet you. Can I think about you, thinking about me, thinking about my friend's mom in the bath? My mental health is, yeah, for the rest of my life.
Red and yellow and green and brown and scarlet and black and ochre and peach.
Ruby and olive and violet and fawn and lilac and gold and chocolate and mauve. It's 2060. And I'm on a walk, even with my cataracts, I clock you in the corner of the park. This is it, now's my chance. I'm riddled with arthritis, but even if it kills me, and it could, I will shake your hand, tap you on the shoulder, and I said, hey, you said, I said, it's me again, the girl from the party in the 7-Eleven. You said, I'm sorry, I don't remember you. I said, no worries, but my dying wish is to shake your hand. You said, okay, and we did. And in that moment, 80 years of worrying what people think of me melted away. Then as I walked away, I slipped on a yogurt, hit my head on the pavement, farted and died. So now I'm gonna spend my afterlife thinking about you, thinking about me, thinking about farting into death, thinking about me, thinking about my friend's mom in the bath for the rest of my life. Cream and crimson and silver
for
and
the rest
rose
of my
and
life.
Ash and lemon and russet
for
and
the
gray.
Rest of my life.
Purple and white and pink and orange and blue.
you very much.
Goodbye. Down the short set of stairs, join me, Grim, in the basement for my working knowledge of indie, experimental, post-punk, and electronic. Every Wednesday from 10 until 11 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM. Get ready to press record.
Did you recognize that sound? That's the sound of a healthy, well-cared-for cat. I truly hope you've been lucky enough to hear that sound before. The feral cat population around Kingston and the surrounding areas has grown considerably over the last few years. And thanks to organizations like Kendra's Community Kitties, these feral cats are being fed, medically cared for, spayed, neutered, flea treated, dewormed, given winter shelters, and placed in loving homes whenever possible.
Hundreds of these special animals have been rescued by Kendra, and many of these wonderful felines are purring right now, safe and healthy.
But rescuing and rehoming feral cats isn't easy. It requires an enormous amount of time and effort, and there are a few ways you can help.
You can donate to Kendra's Community Kitties on their website, kckitties.com. Even a small amount will help pay for medication, spay and neutering procedures, and food and supplies to keep these felines sheltered and healthy in the cold winters or extreme heat of the summer. Because some of these kitties are not socialized, Kendra has committed herself to provide 22 dishes of food with fresh water every day, 365 days a year, to six feral colonies. Food prices have increased significantly, so donations of food and money are always needed. Funding assists with the process of finding homes for these cats as well, as it takes time and money to find the right individual or family to be matched with the right kind of cat. You can become a foster family for our feline friends. Go to kckitties.com and learn how you can care for and love a cat or even a family of kittens until they can be moved into their forever homes. At the colonies, Kendra plants the seeds of trust and socializes the feral felines when she brings them food at the same time each and every single day. So they're more accepting of humans when placed with foster families. But fostering a feral cat is no easy task. Kendra cannot take these cats from the colonies unless there are foster homes willing to commit to help these kitties gain trust with humans.
You can adopt one of these special cats or kittens. If you've already been thinking of getting a furry friend, reach out to Kendra at kckitties.com and she'll provide you with all the information you need to make this important decision.
Any help you can offer Kendra's Community Kitties will be tremendously appreciated. Not only by Kendra, but by the lucky feral felines she rescues.
And hey, maybe, just maybe, one day, you'll get to hear...
Panda, say I love you.
Hi, I'm Alan Cross. You may know me as the guy who does the ongoing history of new music. You're listening to CFRC 101.9.
I think that debate is incredibly important. It means a lot if you can take the time to distill all your thoughts, put them up against the thoughts of someone that you don't agree with, and at least come to some common ground, find some basis in reality of at least why the two of you believe what you believe, right? My worry, though, is that every day debate is getting dumber. Like in a way that's not even savable now. I mean, it's one thing for us to disagree about something and then try to talk the thing out as best as possible. But what's happening now is insane. Yeah. Especially online. I am watching so many people argue if 100 men can beat one gorilla. Based on the comments I am seeing, I'm terrified that one gorilla might outsmart 100 men. This is very bad. The logic is not lining up here at all. It's a gorilla. It's gorilla. You don't really need to know much. It's gorilla. gorilla. Like, it's a gorilla, and it's 100 dudes, but we haven't even established the parameters of the battle. We haven't. Like, some people, for their scenario, they want to use 100 UFC fighters specifically. And it's like, all right. Maybe. But also, where is the battle taking place? If this is 100 men versus one gorilla in an open field, maybe everybody can flank them and surround them and jump on each other and try to smother them or whatever the plan is. But if this is just a gorilla running into a Blink Fitness, everybody dying. Like, everybody, every single person in there is dying. If this was just a gorilla running up into church, then yeah, nobody's making it. The plans are insane. The ways that people who I know don't actually own dry erase boards have gone to the store. Bought a dry erase board specifically for this purpose. Brought it home and then put it in front of their phone like they just had that in the garage or something. Breaking out the marker, going through the whole thing. And this is what gets me, right? Is that no matter who you talk to, anyone that really believes that these 100 men are going to beat this one gorilla, no matter who you talk to, everybody is like, all right, look, some of y'all will die. It's like, that's why it's not going to work. You didn't say us. You said some of y'all, which means you plan on. That's the thing that really gets me, is that you're assuming that 100 men are gonna cooperate. Like, you're assuming 100 men are just gonna be like, yeah, you got it, boss. No, you don't mean cooks are gonna be in that kitchen? Probably enough for a gorilla to kill. That's crazy. 100. It's been a week. It's been a full week of me arguing. I'm like, guys, it's a gorilla. It's a gorilla. Okay. No. This is important. This is important, all right? Because I could tell just by the vibe in here that a couple of the dudes in here are like, nah. I can feel it. I can legitimately feel it. I'm not psyching at all, but I'm looking at you, look at me, and I can see a couple of y'all are like, maybe he can't do it, but somebody been working out all winter. Okay. No, okay, this is important, all right? So, in the true crime documentary space, okay, as men, we've had a rough go of it. Turns out we do most of the killing, okay? We do a lot of the killing. We do a bunch of it. Some would say all, some would say we just haven't caught the women yet. But we do a ton of it, all right? We do an HBO, a Netflix, a Paramount, a Hulu, a Disney Plus amount of the killing, all right? We do all the podcast killing. We do all that, right? And because we do all that, we've been getting a bad rap for a while. There's a lot of people like, ooh, you going to a dinner date with a man? Watch out, girl, right? Like, it's just all of us killing all the time. I haven't killed anybody. I've been at home watching these men kill. But said all that to say that in 2024, we got a bit of a reprieve, right? We got a little bit of a stay on our beat down in the media as men, right? Because a documentary series came out called Chimp Crazy, all right? Now, Chimp Crazy is, you may not recognize it as the savior that it is, but you got to remember that in documentary series, all all of them, almost exclusively, have been about men being evil and bad and murdering and all this other stuff. And then finally, there was a show called Chimp Crazy, where almost exclusively white women were adopting chimps, letting them get too strong, and releasing them into the community. And it's like, that's what we needed. It's not all up. Finally, something is not a man's fault, because they interviewed these women and they're like, no, he's like my baby. And then he gets real strong. She's like, ooh, let him out the window. Like, he's... If you have not watched it, it is a phenomenal series. It is genuinely terrifying and insane, and it is both brilliantly done and horrible to watch, but also captivating. You can't look away. It is truly insane. And I know that there should probably be a name. There should probably be a name for what this thing is that these ladies have, because basically in the U.S., we like having exotic animals, and one of the exotic animals that people really love having is chimps, right? And so these people get chimps on the black market, and when you get a chimp very, very young, it does act almost exactly like a human baby. Now, what's so crazy about this situation is that some of the women in these chimp crazy scenarios, they do have kids. They have kids. The kid will even be like, oh yeah, I went to college and came back and she didn't notice. She loved that chimp. That chimp is her favorite. Yeah, I don't even know what to do. Right? So some of these women do have kids, some of them don't, right? But they treat the chimp like a child, because when they get it, it genuinely needs them the way that a baby would need a mother. They even have to hold the bottle for the milk, and they have to cradle it just like a baby and everything. And it's very sweet, it's very cute, and the chimp does get attached to them, like deeply attached, like a baby would, right? And the first 2 years of owning a chimp, you shouldn't do it, don't do it. The first 2 years of owning a chimp is exactly like having a baby. You know, they're not really talking. They're learning to walk. They're doing all the stuff like on this sort of timetable that's almost close to like a human baby, right? And then at three, the chimp does get strong, stronger than a baby, but still acting like a baby. You can still train it and tell it what to do and get it to stop doing stuff and everything, because the chimp is like, it's taking in all of the stimulus around it, and if you raise it like a kid, it'll start acting like a kid. At five, at five is where you run into trouble, because at five is the first time the chimp looks around and goes, I'm the strongest one in here. I think I'm going to bed. All right. So, said all that to say that one example is in the show Chimp Crazy. This woman is okay. So she has her chimp, right? And the chimp, they've been trying as a community, as a city, they've been telling her, you gotta get rid of this chimp. She's like, no, it's my baby. No, 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 I can't do that. No, right? Never mind the chimp. She would take the chimp in the truck with her to go places. So she'd take it to go get ice cream or whatever. And there was one time she took it to go get ice cream and it just got out of the truck and nobody could get it back in, and it stopped traffic because it was like, I like where I'm standing right now and I bet you won't move me, right? And so then the city told her, look, if anything like this ever happens again, we have to come get the chimp. You can't just have the chimp stop in traffic and stuff. She's like, okay, right? Then one day, the chimp's got to be like, oh, it's over five now. And it's just wilding out because it's like, you know what? I should be in the trees. I should be in the trees, and wood paneling isn't going to cut it. So it's flying throughout the home, right? And she freaking out. So then, as much as these women are like, this is my baby, this is my child, whatever, when you listen to the 911 call, almost every time, they're like, shoot it, shoot it, shoot it, shoot it! Almost exclusively. Every single time, right? And so then she's over here. She is either making so much noise or calls her neighbor that her neighbor comes over to help her, right? Now, this neighbor doesn't love the chimp like she loves the chimp. So the neighbor is like, we have a wild animal in here that will kill us on purpose or by accident. I have no idea, right? And she's already calling. She's calling the 911. And she's like, shut it, shut it, shut it, shut it, right? And then her neighbor, in order to try to subdue the chimp, attacks the chimp from behind, right? And then the chimp turns around, and I don't know if it was on purpose or by accident, but that chimp slapped her face off. And that's not even a gorilla. So you have no chance against a gorilla. In what world do you have the nerve to think you could last again? And then you see the dudes in here. No, okay, we gonna send them in waves, right? So that first wave gonna get in there trying to tire him out. It's like, no, he won't get tired if he killed for fun. If murder is his favorite game, he's not gonna get tired of anything. No. You run it up on that gorilla. Gorilla just grabbed two dudes, right? Just grabbed their legs, used them as nunchucks to beat everybody else. They're over here going full Bruce Lee with it. No, it's insane. It's an insane premise. No. You're assuming 100 men are going to cooperate, coordinate, execute this plan. You're assuming you don't have a single coward in there. Because I'll tell you right now, I'm not the one. All right? You better pray I'm not one of your 100 men. You'll know you shouldn't be jumping the gorilla with me, because I'll be that type. If you ever have somebody in your clique like this, don't do the jumping. If there's somebody like me, it's like, let's get them, fellas. That's a sign of somebody who's about to get you killed, all right? If they say fellas, that's insane. Attack, boys. No. It's true. I'm not that guy. And I'm fine not being that guy, too. There's some people that need to prove something to someone all the time. That's not me. I became very comfortable with who I was a long time ago. Even in other situations, you know, I can already tell you right now, when it comes to things getting bad in the world, apocalypse type of stuff, I'm not the guy. I'll die. Apocalypse, I will be dying. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I don't know. You know, I had some friends that I went to church with, all prepping and all this stuff like that. I was like, I don't know why are you trying so hard to live if the apocalypse happens. Like, we both think we going to the same place. I'm gonna get there early. Why would I keep fighting? No, that's crazy. I'm not going to keep fighting after bullets. I can't make bullets, so that's the end of my fighting, right? And I can barely...